No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/hailmary. That's hims.com/hailmary for your free online visit. hims.com/hailmary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
And we're back here on Thursday on the Joe Gaither Show, and we are here to get ready for Alabama's season opener. And to do that, we welcome in Dustin Lewis. He's the editor-in-chief at Knowles Game Day. You guys can follow him at Dustin Lewis NG, covering all things Florida State for the Seminoles and really, really getting excited for this season opener as we're 10 days away. Dustin, thank you so much for your time today.
What's up, Joe? Appreciate you having me on. And like you said, I mean, we're getting closer day by day to this Florida State and Alabama game, and obviously a ton of anticipation on both sides, just now 9 days away from kickoff.
Absolutely. So very, very exciting times right there. And we'll be down there in Tallahassee. We'll send Katie Windham and a crew down to Tallahassee. So we'll have an in-person view, but we'll just start with you asking about what should we expect? What's the perception this year? Everybody sees it on paper, Florida State 2-10, all kinds of transfer trouble, hiring a new offensive coordinator. What is really the flavor and temperature in Tallahassee with this Florida State program going into 2025?
Yeah, I think, there's definitely some cautious optimism for Florida State coming off that 2-10 season. Obviously, things look a lot different in Tallahassee, not only just on the coaching staff, but across the roster as well. I mean, brought in a ton of guys through, like you said, the transfer portal, high school recruiting. And, you know, I think they're hoping now Gus Malzahn coming in, he's going to be taking over the play calling duties for Mike Norvell. Obviously revamping things on defense and moving over to a 3-3-5 scheme under Tony Wyatt, a guy who, you know, produced some very impressive defenses, not only at Nebraska, but during his time at Syracuse as well. So just with the changes, I mean, there's a bunch of unknowns obviously going into this 2025 season, but if things click, there's certainly a path for Florida State to get back to a bowl game. I don't know that we're talking about contending for an ACC championship or, you know, making the college football playoff, but, you know, a solid 7-5, 8-4 season would get Florida State back on the right track after how last year went.
Well, really, what did happen last year? Obviously, you got the undefeated season the year prior, gets kind of left out of the playoffs in favor of Alabama. And then the next year, there's all this excitement as well, but it all falls apart. What do you think went wrong for Mike Norvell?
Everything. Everything went wrong. You know, obviously there was a lot of chatter coming off the college football playoff snub, and, you know, Florida State with how things went in 2022 and 2023, you know, the 10-win campaign, then you go 13-1. I think a lot of people, even though Florida State had 10 guys go off to the NFL and, you know, some other key starters or contributors move on from the program, they expected them to kind of stay on that path, still be in contention for an ACC championship, maybe even a dark horse playoff contender in that 12-team college football playoff a season ago. But, you know, it just didn't happen for Florida State. And, you know, when I look back on it, I truly feel like they just got really comfortable with how the process was going. And you look at the first couple of years of Mike Norvell's tenure in Tallahassee, and Florida State hit the transfer portal pretty hard, and, you know, they had some success stories there, whether it's Jared Verse or obviously Jordan Travis at quarterback, Keon Coleman, Johnny Wilson. The list kind of goes on, and, you know, some of those guys that they brought into Tallahassee, whenever they arrived, they weren't guys who had produced a ton at their previous stops, but then Florida State turned them into starters and guys who went on to make the NFL. Last year, during that transfer portal cycle, it was the same thing. It felt like they were banking on guys who maybe hadn't necessarily produced at previous stops, and that kind of blew up in their face along with failures at the high school recruiting front as well.
We're talking to Dustin Lewis. He's the editor-in-chief at Noel Game Day. You can read him, NoelGameDay.com, FSU Seminoles on SI. And so let's just get right into the biggest, really most obvious story about this game. As Alabama's heading down to Tallahassee, you see a new quarterback, a second year bringing in a transfer quarterback, and Thomas Castellanos is now coming from Boston College, and he was pretty vocal a couple months ago saying, okay, we can get these guys. Alabama, they're beatable. Nick Saban isn't coming to save you. What was your reaction to Castellanos? Because I was reading Pete Nakos writing that out and thinking, holy smokes, I can't believe that they allowed him to be this candid with On3Sports. What was your reaction to his comments in the summer, and really how has that permeated through the program over these couple of months?
I was shocked. I was shocked because for the most part, you know, Florida State's media relations team, they do a pretty good job of obviously coaching these guys up for whenever they go in front of the media to say the right things and not get off topic and go haywire like we saw with that interview with Tommy Castellanos and On3. So that was pretty surprising to me. And I will say, I think since then, Florida State has kind of gotten in his ear because you saw the ACC kickoff, you know. He stood on business a little bit of those comments, but he was letting people know. And, you know, he spoke to one of the Alabama wide receivers this summer. I can't remember which guy it was, but let him know he's just trying to instill confidence in his team and, you know, let those guys know that they're going to have a better season after what they went through last year. And I think Florida State's locker room, I mean, the guys maybe didn't come out vocally and support him on social media, but behind the scenes, this is a team that definitely has Tommy Castellanos' back. And, you know, I think ever since he arrived at Florida State, made that transfer from Boston College, he's really done all of the right things on and off the field and earned the trust, the respect from other guys on Florida State's roster. And, you know, I will say it definitely added some fuel to the fire in this game because, you know, it's not the necessarily the high-profile contest we thought maybe a couple of seasons ago with Florida State coming in unranked against Alabama, but now there's going to be a lot of fire on August 30th. And I'm sure, you know, obviously Alabama's heard those comments. We heard a couple of those guys speak about it at the SEC media days, and they're going to be ready to fire right back at Tommy Castellanos once that ball kicks off.
The prevailing theme at SEC media days was all disrespect will be addressed. And I said, okay, guys, we'll see what y'all do. Let's see what happens. So Tommy Castellanos was trying to instill confidence in his team and in his teammates. But what would you say is the temperature of the fan base? Does the fan base feel like this game against Alabama is a winnable ball game?
I think that they do. And, you know, like we said, Florida State's coming off a 2-10 season. There are a lot of new pieces here. But at the same time, I think that can be a little bit of an advantage for Florida State. I mean, you've got basically 10 new starters on offense. You're going to have 7 or 8 new starters on defense. You're replacing a bunch of guys on special teams. And, you know, Florida State, a little bit under the radar here. You know, Alabama doesn't have a bunch of film on these guys together. And, I mean, what exactly it's going to look like for Florida State. And it kind of reminds me a little bit, a couple years ago, Florida State faced off with a top 15 Notre Dame in the season opener back in 2021, and they didn't win that game, but they were a lot more competitive than I thought and forced it into overtime, eventually lost to the Fighting Irish. But that's maybe how this type of game could go on August 30th. Florida State coming out a little bit of a surprise just because you haven't really seen them yet. You don't know exactly how they're going to operate, and they keep the game a little bit closer than they should.
This is a perfect transition because on Wednesday we spoke to Kane Womack, and I asked him about the 4 transferees on the offensive line, and kind of relating to one of your earlier comments about last year they didn't get any much production from the transfer portal. But this year on the transfer portal, at least on the offensive line, these guys have a lot of experience, a lot of snaps, and obviously you've got the transfer from UCF that's come over with Gus Malzahn and Herb Hand. What do you see in these four transferees? And you've got a returning starter at right guard there for Florida State. So what do we see in this offensive line, and how do you think that they're going to mesh? Because Kane Womack said, you know what, we just don't really have to, we don't have a good picture of them playing together. And he said, we'll have to go back to the Gus Malzahn tape, but it's going to be a lot of adjustments early in the day in Tallahassee.
Like you said, a ton of experience playing at their previous destinations, but not a ton of time together to gain chemistry and continuity. And I mean, obviously that's so important when you're talking about the offensive line, because you need all five guys on assignment doing the right thing. You know, if you got four guys go the right way, but one guy takes the wrong step, I mean, that's the difference between a play getting totally blown up. And, you know, I will say I'm pretty interested to see this Florida State offensive line. I mean, they missed a ton of practice time back during the spring. You had both of the projected starting offensive tackles kind of dinged up there. And one of their guys inside, Richie Leonard, who a projected starter coming off a season ending injury in 2024, he was a little bit limited during spring camp. So, I mean, these last couple of weeks have really been the first time for that starting five to get out on the field together and, you know, start to build some chemistry and figure out what it's like to actually work next to one another. So even though that there's a lot of experience with Florida State, they just haven't had enough time to get on the same page with one another. And I mean, we even heard Florida State offensive line coach Herb Hand kind of talking about that earlier today during media availability, and said, you know, there's still some time here before this game where we've got to come together and keep putting in that work. So I think Florida State, for the most part, I mean, they know what that starting five brings, but I mean, in the event of an injury, I'm not very confident in the depth behind those guys.
Okay. So you got to get it from the first five. Let's turn to the backfield. Alabama fans are familiar with Roydell Williams. Will he be the lead back for Florida State this season, or will they turn to one of his counterparts, Cam Davis or Gavin Shawchuk, one of these other running backs? And secondly, what do you see out of the running back group?
It's a backfield that is filled with experience. You know, obviously Roydell, with what he was able to do at Alabama, and Florida State brought in Gavin Shawchuk, a former starter for Oklahoma. They've got a guy in Keziah Holmes on the roster who previously started at Penn State, Jalen Lucas, kind of a running back athlete type who will get moved around the offense. He began his career at Indiana. So there's a lot of experience in that room. But I mean, the guy, the surprise of fall camp really for this Florida State offense, maybe the team in general, has been true freshman Usman Kroma, who was one of Florida State's crown jewels of that Tribe 25 class. Flipped him from Georgia back during the early signing period. And what's interesting is this kid didn't arrive on campus until the summer. So, I mean, missed spring practice, but now that fall campus began, I mean, he hasn't missed a beat, is constantly drawing praise from Mike Norvell and running backs coach David Johnson, also Gus Malzahn as well. And, you know, it seems like he's got a real chance to be in that starting lineup on opening day, which is pretty rare to hear out of a freshman who just joined the team. I mean, the youngest guy in that backfield by a complete year. So I do think Roydell, you know, with his veteran experience, he's probably going to be the guy that gets the first carries for Florida State. I think Gavin Shawchuk's going to be in the rotation as well. But if Kroma steps on the field and begins to impress, he's going to quickly rise up that depth chart. But I think those three, Roydell, Shawchuk, and Kroma, are probably going to see the most time against Alabama.
We're talking to Dustin Lewis, editor-in-chief of Noel Game Day. You can read on Noel Game Day, FSU Seminoles on SI. We're talking running the football, and as the Alabama side's familiar with the Gus Malzahn offense. A lot of motions, a lot of misdirections, a lot of quarterback runs, a lot of ball kind of going in different directions. And Tommy Castellanos was an effective runner at Boston College, a very, very effective athlete at Boston College, but sometimes struggled in the pass game. Maybe that's what eroded the relationship with Bill O'Brien. What do you make of his ability to throw the football? Because there will be a couple times where he's going to need to do that in this season opener. And who will he be throwing the football to? We're familiar with Squirrel White from his time at Tennessee, but what are some of the weapons that Florida State's kind of going into this game with?
He's got a talented arm, you know, can definitely hit the deep ball, but has some inconsistent mechanics, and that can lead to some wishy-washy plays here and there. I mean, from what we've heard, for the most part, he's done a good job of taking care of the football throughout fall camp, hasn't really turned it over a ton. And I mean, I do look back to his passing numbers last season at Boston College, improved his passing efficiency, his yards per attempt, his completion percentage through 18 touchdowns to just 5 interceptions a season after going, I believe, 16 touchdowns to 15 interceptions. So, I mean, we saw him take a step there passing efficiency-wise last year for Boston College. It was really the rushing efficiency in 2024 that, I mean, totally fell off a cliff for Tommy Castellanos. Right there around that 200-yard mark, was not nearly as dynamic as he was a season before. And, I mean, I think a lot of that had to do with the offense change there with Bill O'Brien. O'Brien coming in and taking over as the head coach last season, running more of a pro style offense. I mean, obviously, you know, you guys are obviously familiar with Bill O'Brien and that more of NFL style of offense that he runs. And I think Tommy Castellanos was kind of like square and a round hole type of situation. He just didn't fit that scheme. And Bill O'Brien didn't really alter it to play to Tommy's strengths. He wanted Tommy to play to what that Boston College offense wanted to run. That's going to be the difference at Florida State. I mean, they're kind of catering this offense around Tommy and his athleticism, and they're going to let him throw the ball, but they're going to utilize those legs, and they want to see the guy that he was at Boston College in 2023 when, you know, he became the first player there in Eagles program history to pass for 2,000-plus yards, rush for 1,000-plus yards in a single season. And, I mean, almost single-handedly took down that Florida State team in 2023, which went 13-0 and won the ACC championship, nearly upset them there. So, I mean, Florida State, they're pretty confident that he's going to bounce back in this Malzahn offense. And, you know, Gus Malzahn actually was one of the few coaches to recruit Tommy Castellanos as a quarterback coming out of high school, believed in his ability as a signal caller. And they had that 1 year at UCF together where Tommy didn't really play. But he's got that experience and what Gus Malzahn wants to do, what he likes to run. And now that they've reunited at Florida State, it sounds like everything has gone pretty well.
We're hanging out with Dustin Lewis. Dustin, let's flip to the other side of the football. Tony White, you mentioned his hire in December, and he's changing the defensive scheme to a 3-3-5. I guess he made some headlines last week when he said, oh, some guys still need to step their butt up after a scrimmage. What's been maybe the feel on the defensive side of the football? Obviously, another big crop of transfers coming in. You bring in James Williams, I believe, out of Nebraska. But mm-hmm. What's been really the feel for the Florida State defense going into this game?
Well, I will say I really like the addition of Tony White. I mean, he brings the right attitude, the right mindset, and, you know, he really pushes those guys on that defensive side of the ball. And this 3-3-5 scheme, I mean, it's going to be pretty interesting for Florida State with how they're able to do different things around the line of scrimmage and, you know, pre-snap movements across the field, different things like that to kind of try and confuse opposing offenses. And, I mean, he really calls it a 3-3-5 multiple scheme where, you know, that might be primarily what they're in, but they're going to switch to a lot of different things to just try and, you know, throw different wrinkles at opposing offenses and make them have to think before snapping the ball. But, you know, I look at this Florida State defense and they've revamped things quite a bit. Linebacker room, I do really like and go 5 or 6 deep. And you've got some quality guys in there. Brought over Elijah Herring from Memphis, who has stepped into a leadership role for Florida State. And you've got guys like Omar Graham Jr. and Juice Cryer, who are taking the next step in their respective developments. I think the main question mark really for FSU is in the secondary, because you brought over Jeremiah Wilson from Houston, who very experienced defensive back. He's got 3 years of starting experience in a 3-3-5 scheme and actually played for Tony White for 2 of those seasons when he was back at Syracuse. But outside of that, I mean, at cornerback, I think the rest of the guys in the room have a combined 3 starts, and you're really banking on guys stepping up who haven't played a ton of football at Florida State so far in their careers. And then same thing in the defensive backfield. You know, Earl Little Jr., who we mentioned earlier, you know, he's moved from nickel back there to safety, a projected starter for Florida State. And it sounds like he's done a lot of things to progress this offseason and become a leader for the Seminoles. But at the same time, I mean, he was one of the lowest graded defenders in the country last season. So you're banking on him bouncing back big and some other young guys in that defensive backfield. Along the defensive front, like you mentioned, James Williams, Florida State, is hoping that he can become an every down defensive end. You know, he was mainly a pass rushing specialist at Nebraska and limited snaps. And now to go into a full-time starting role, it's going to be quite the transition for him. And I think the guy that everyone is really looking at to take that next step is Daryl Jackson, who, you know, some think could be the very best player on Florida State's defense, an NFL-level talent. And he's got the size, he's got the athleticism, he's got the physicality, but it really just comes down to consistency. I mean, one play could lead to a sack or a tackle for loss, and the next is a missed tackle that ends up being a large run up the middle. So if he can get it down to becoming a guy who's not only productive on first down, but he can do it second down, third down, then come back, do it the next drive, that is going to be absolutely critical for this Florida State defense. But, you know, like I was talking about with the offense, I think depth could eventually be a concern for Florida State throughout the season if guys get banged up.
Well, luckily the depth, I mean, you do need it in a whole game, but you're playing Alabama first, and that's what we're talking about with Dustin Lewis. You can follow Dustin Lewis at Dustin Lewis NG, editor-in-chief at Knowles Game Day. Dustin, Florida State wins this game if what?
If Tommy Castellanos absolutely dices Alabama up with his legs. I think that's really what it's going to take. And it's not going to be a very easy task, obviously, with what Alabama's bringing in that front seven along the defensive line at linebacker. They've got a pretty talented secondary as well. But I think it's going to take Tommy Castellanos, I mean, making some off-script plays and doing some things out there on the field that just lead to some very exciting moments for this Florida State offense, stuff that they missed all season last year. And you know, it's going to count on this offensive line if they can step up. It's going to be a really tough task for this Florida State offense. They've got their hands full, and, I mean, so does this defense. This Alabama roster is obviously loaded with talent, and they got a lot of fire to come out after that 2024 season of Florida State. I mean, they're going to have to be all speeds go when that ball kicks off.
Now, correct me, was Doak Campbell still under construction last season, or was it finished before last season?
No, it was still under construction during the 2024 season. Had a pretty limited capacity, especially over there on the home side where the renovations were ongoing. And I know they're still doing some final preparations out there now, you know, just a couple days before the game kicks off. But it sounds like everything's going to be fully completed. They've done the revamp. They've redone some things up there in the Champions Club, obviously added luxury suites, loge boxes, things like that alongside the home side. So Doak Campbell Stadium, Bobby Bowden Field, it looks a lot different than the last time Florida State fans were in there. I know some people were able to go get a sneak peek this past weekend, but they poured hundreds of millions of dollars into this renovation to have it ready for this game, the reopening of Doak Campbell Stadium to be for this matchup between Florida State and Alabama, which I mean, just feels fitting out there on national television to kick off this 2025 college football season.
All right, so put our listeners on the Joe Gaither Show inside Doak Campbell Stadium with 80,000 people doing the war chant. I've been kind of weary of it all summer long. What's your perception and what's it feel like when that place is going?
It's awesome. And, you know, I'm a little bit biased. I'm a Florida State alum. I grew up in Tallahassee, but hearing that war chant is just like no other. And you know, I think fans really do think it instills fear in the opposing team. We'll see how afraid Alabama is. I know they're obviously used to playing in these high-profile environments and having the entire opposing crowd against them. So, you know, it might not rattle the Crimson Tide that much, but it should make for a very exciting atmosphere. And, you know, Alabama fans are going to get to see what Florida State fans bring in Doak Campbell Stadium this season. And then FSU fans are going to get a taste when things go back to Tuscaloosa in 2026.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about really all of the non-conference games that are on the schedule for the future for the Crimson Tide. Greg Byrne's done a great job. And really, going from the Texas matchup before they got into the SEC right here to Wisconsin last year and now to Florida State, I really like the philosophy. The last really question I have for you about this game is about the heat. Alabama played on Saturday in a scrimmage. I drove over to the stadium, looked at the heat index. It was 100. I thought, oh, that's gross. Then I pulled up Tallahassee. The heat index was 107. So what's it like down there? We're looking at it about 10 days out, 9 days out. The future forecast looks like it may be raining as well. Just what's the weather like in Tallahassee? And how do you foresee, you talked about the depth with Florida State. Do you foresee the heat being an issue in this first game for both sides?
It's brutal. And I think the heat could very well be an issue during this game. And you know, we've seen it backfire actually for Florida State in the past. A couple of years ago they were playing Boise State around this time in the season opener, and you would think, you know, the guys coming over from Idaho were going to be the ones dealing with the heat and cramping up. No, it was Florida State who we saw by the end of the game really struggling with that Tallahassee heat. So it's absolutely brutal, not just the heat, but at least around here, I'm not sure how it is over there in Tuscaloosa. It is extremely humid, and when you've got that heat and humidity on top of you, it's like you're drowning. And, man, I honestly just got a little PTSD when you said it could rain on Saturday, because that's just going to make it even worse. So 3:30 game of late August in Tallahassee, brutal time to play and obviously watch a football game out there in person. I'm glad I'm going to be up in the press box with a roof and some AC.
Well, Dustin, we'll leave you with this. I want to get you as the last word. Follow Dustin Lewis at Dustin Lewis NG. Read his stuff at Noel Game Day for FSU Seminoles on SI. What are you going to be looking for? What are going to be your big themes for the game? We heard what you think Florida State needs to do if they were going to win the game. Thomas Castellanos getting after him on some off-script plays and running the football effectively. I wholeheartedly agree. But from your perspective, as you've been preparing for this season opener, what are maybe your one, two big things that you're thinking about will affect or impact this game?
Well, I think I really want to see Florida State's wide receivers. I mean, that's a major question mark here. And you mentioned Squirrel White earlier, and, you know, we'll see about his availability for the game after getting dinged up a little bit recently. Brought over Deuce Robinson from USC. So, I mean, you've got those two guys who have produced for multiple years at the college level. Outside of that, I mean, it's a little bit of a question mark for Florida State. You got a guy coming back in LaWayne McCoy. He's been dinged up most of the preseason and might have been a projected starter for Florida State if he wasn't dealing with an injury. And I think it's very possible when Florida State releases its first depth chart of the season on Monday, you've got a true freshman and Javon Boggs going to be right there as a starting wide receiver alongside Squirrel White and Deuce Robinson. I mean, he's been that good during fall camp, but at the same time, you've got some other guys on this roster, guys going into their second or third year with the program who are really going to need to step up and be starter quality or at least able to impact that rotation for Florida State, whether it's a guy like Elijah Moore or Makai Danzy, who's transitioning from track and set an ACC record in the 400 meters, got a ton of speed that Florida State would love to utilize out there. And I think he fits perfectly with, like you said, Gus Malzahn's system that uses so much motion with jet sweeps and things like that. So I think the wide receivers are a major question mark for Florida State. And then going over to the defensive side of the ball, I just continue to look at a defensive line and I'm wondering, you know, who exactly is going to rise up there. Cause we, like I was talking about Darryl Jackson, but we haven't heard a ton out of him during preseason camp. And, you know, James Williams has made some strides, but you've heard about true freshmen like Mandrell and Daryl Dazier, a couple of twins who have arrived at Florida State. Kevin Wynn, a true freshman. Jaden Jones, a redshirt senior who has dealt with two ACL tears and really wasn't expected to factor into the rotation much this offseason. Those are the guys that we've heard the most about during preseason camp. So that does kind of concern me because you have some veterans along that interior like Daniel Lyons and KJ Sampson, and it's been pretty quiet on them as far as the coaching staff whenever they're praising guys along the defensive trenches. So I just think there are some guys across this Florida State roster who, you know, if they're going to compete, if they're going to be in this game with Alabama, I'm not saying that Florida State is going to win, but just to be able to compete for four quarters, there are guys that are going to have to step up who we haven't heard a ton about yet this preseason.
He's Dustin Lewis, and he's the editor-in-chief at Noel Game Day. Read him at NoelGameDay.com, FSU Seminoles on SI. Follow him on the Twitter machine at Dustin Lewis NG. Dustin, thank you so much for your time. I feel a whole lot smarter. I feel a lot more excited about the season opener between Alabama and Florida State.
Yeah, Joe, I appreciate you having me on, and it's going to be a good one. And, you know, this is really just the first chapter. Hopefully we'll get to do this again in a year when Florida State makes that trip over to Alabama.
Okay, real quick, for our fans that are traveling, where should they eat in the Tallahassee area?
Oh, that's tough. Depends. It depends what you're looking for.
Whatever you like.
Depends what you're looking for. You know, I'm personally looking for the local spots rather than the chains. And there's this place called Hobbit, not too far away from Doak Campbell Stadium. And, I mean, they've got wings, burgers, beer, all the things that you'll be looking for leading up to a college football game.
Thanks so much, Dustin. We'll have to check it out. We'll see you next week, man. Thank you for your time. Perfect.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.